Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Design Under Influence. It's a pleasure and privilege to be here with you. Last episode, we covered ARCHICAD versus AutoCAD, specifically regarding advantages of ARCHICAD or 3D designing, specifically on the bidding side of things, life cycle of the building once it's done, and how facilities can use the files, the 3D files, to manage, better manage the building, and also the piece, AI piece that is coming, that's going to sort of revolutionize this industry, and how the 3D folks who use 3D will be likely ahead of AutoCAD and other 2D design tools. Here with me today, as always, Mr. Willard, and him and I, we're going to just go explore some stuff today. And today we're talking collaboration, documentation, ARCHICAD, and its advantages over AutoCAD. Right, Willard?
Yes, sir.
All right. And so that's what we're going to go cover. Just a reminder, we are ARCHIT. We're an IT company that helps architects, design, and engineering firms, you know, take care of their IT. But we also help with BIM conversions, transitions, and implementations. And this series is really designed to help you make that decision, or at least have a deeper understanding of why your firm should consider converting, what some of the benefits. I know there's some costs. And by the way, Willard, we never really spoke about cost. I know I don't want to put you on the spot here, but how much is it? Is ARCHICAD significantly more expensive to run, let's say, with a 10, 20, 30 person firm than AutoCAD would be?
No, it's not significantly more. It's actually comparable.
Wow. So it's really just the pain of transition and learning a new tool.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
We should do another episode on cost and just compare some stuff. But today, collaboration, let's stick to the plan. So I think first, let's sort of help us all understand what some of the challenges or shortcomings of AutoCAD in that department. Because collaboration, it's all about like bringing everybody, hopefully at the same time, to work collaboratively, solve problems, and come up with a really, really good product on the other end, faster and more economical than anyone else. But what are the challenges with the 2D nature of AutoCAD in this realm?
So I think, you know, taking a step back is kind of understanding kind of the legacy of creating construction documents in the industry. 100 years ago or 50 years ago, teams were working in a, you know, pretty linear kind of fashion where, you know, an architect would create, you know, kind of the base plan or the site plan or do some of the code analysis and start to create the documentation, maybe hand that off to a drafter who's going to start to add detail and more drawings to the set. And all of this is, you know, in a linear path. And with one person typically able to work on a drawing at a time. And so AutoCAD, you know, when it came out, it was mimicking that workflow. And in a lot of ways today, it still kind of reflects that historical workflow of creating documentation. So, you know, one of the inherent limitations is that when you have one file and somebody who's authoring that file and they're ready to hand it off, they're having to share this file either, you know, I would say digitally, you know, on their server or through some of Autodesk's proprietary products like BIM 360 or I forget what the other one's called, but all of that is to say that they are still using a very historic method for sharing and working on documents. So you can understand that your weakest link is the person who's either taking a little bit longer to create the information or the accuracy of that information, and you are kind of reliant solely on the skill set of one person operating in a silo. And so when you have like this file sharing method and you are just kind of working with one file or multiple different files for one project, you're kind of risking, you know, productivity gains through the use of, you know, individuals within your team. And so that's that method, especially in today's day and age, is very archaic in terms of how information can be shared, what information, you know, can be worked on at the same time. And what ArchiCAD does that is very different, and ArchiCAD and Graphisoft kind of led the way in how design teams can collaborate, is by allowing multiple people to work on these very data-rich files in parallel. So you could have five different people working on a file at one time in different areas, or in very similar areas, or even in the same area within the file, without having to worry about the handoff, worry about document control, whether or not you're working on the latest and greatest file. So it really opens up design teams to be more collaborative, more responsive, a lot more agile, and have a better cadence in terms of being able to produce information that is very complicated very quickly, and not having to rely solely on the handoff or individuals within the team being able to produce the information in a, you know, in its traditional linear fashion. Now you're working in a more synergistic kind of environment that allows multiple people to review, process, and create information more quickly.
I find some of our clients and the firms that I think are very well run, they have, you know, architects who are full of, you know, employed full time, and then they have folks who are specialized consultants, probably like yourself in a lot of ways. And, you know, those individuals who are specialized on a particular area of design or have a particular skill set get to complete their part of the project in an assembly style of manufacturing the design that we talked about. That's 2D, that's kind of historical or traditional, I should say. That would be a challenge because, you know, that consultant's got other clients. And, you know, who's to say you are a priority? And maybe you will be, maybe you won't be, depending on, you know, what else they got going on and how big the projects are and all those things. Where am I correct to assume, Willard, that with the 3D and the collaboration that comes through ArchiCAD, that is a non-issue because the project is moving along on other fronts? And if we have to wait for somebody else, a specialist, to come in and do the 6 hours of their treatment, we're not waiting on it. We're building the rest of it out, right?
Yeah.
As that person, let's say your specialist is busy or whatever, they can't commit for another week. The project is not just sitting there on a shelf.
Exactly.
And I find that highly entrepreneurial architects that run their own companies, they're not big. They may have 4 or 5 team members, but a lot of subs and contractors and consultants, and they can turn around, work fast, get paid, get good grade from their clients or get feedback, and then, you know, keep getting new projects.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen this kind of phenomenon where it's like really sort of lightweight, super efficient shops out there that run these 3D stuff?
Yeah. I've experienced some of the most kind of advanced collaboration or collaborative teams, probably, you know, in the history of, you know, the profession. One group that I have worked with in the past, because of the ability to share the files in real time, basically the architecture team, the structural engineer, the mechanical, electrical and plumbing engineers are all working in the same file at the same time. So instead of kind of the legacy method, which would be I get to a certain point and I share backgrounds to my my consultants, and then they come back with their proposed solutions, and now I have to either overlay them or integrate them in a way that I feel comfortable enough to say that the solution that they provided is adequate for the problem we're trying to solve, which is creating, you know, a structure or, you know, a environment that meets the owner's requirements. So what that within the ArchiCAD kind of ecosystem, what that allows, how that's different is I am now working on a file, and I have shared access to that information. And now the engineers, they can work on it. They can see exactly where I've placed walls, you know, the site conditions, the orientation of the building, without me having to translate that information or provide them with a different file type. And I guess this would be kind of going into, what is it called? The fourth industrial revolution, which is, you would think kind of, and you kind of mentioned it before, which is kind of the Ford kind of production method, which is the assembly line, which was revolutionary, right? So you had people working on, you know, building a car, and because of this assembly line that was kind of created, it allowed, you know, a product to be produced much quicker. But kind of with this, you know, fourth industrial revolution, and I would almost say that this is kind of the fourth architectural, maybe even kind of construction revolution that we're within, is instead of me handing it off to somebody else and then they start working on it, which, as you can imagine now, and only, I think we can only imagine this because of what technology is out there today, which is things like Google Docs or even Microsoft Word's ability to share a document and in real time have multiple people working on it. So with that said, now we've crossed this precipice where we are not just handing off information. We are now in a collaborative and almost, maybe this is a little bit too theoretical, interesting, but if you were thinking of what it is like today to work on an ArchiCAD file and compare it to what it would be like in like 50 years ago, it would be, instead of one person working at the drafting table trying to create a document that they're going to share with their consultant, now you have 10 people working at that same drafting table at the same time, looking at the information and overlaying and providing their solutions within that. And, you know, that is definitely something that was brought to the industry by Graphisoft and ArchiCAD with, you know, with their kind of patents and technology that a lot of other groups have tried to replicate, but haven't been able to do it in the same fashion that ArchiCAD has done. And that, you know, is far beyond what AutoCAD does. So now you're into the space of not just reducing errors and omissions, you're almost getting to the point where there are no errors and there are no omissions, for the most part, in a sense. And to kind of dovetail that kind of idea with construction, when construction, you know, when the general contractors started using BIM, they got to a point where they were able to identify errors, omissions, or design issues prior to construction. And that was by combining different three-dimensional files or BIM into one federated model. And that allows, you know, the team to better understand what's going on. And what that ultimately does for the client, you know, the building owner, is instead of, you know, a project having 500 RFIs or having, you know, multiple meetings about an issue, these issues are becoming non-issues because you're able to foresee them prior to construction. And if you step back into the design realm, now you're able to see issues that could have been missed prior to finalizing the construction document. So it's definitely a huge paradigm shift. And AutoCAD has, you know, has been a great tool for a lot of people for a long time, but doesn't have the capability to be able to work in that highly synergistic, agile kind of environment that Graphisoft and ArchiCAD have cultivated.
I'm going to poke at this for a second. I'm going to be a little bit of a devil's advocate. I'm going to be a little bit AutoCAD fanboy, and want to see how you respond to this. It sounds like people who are still 2D in AutoCAD are sort of really, really kind of missing out on a lot of real significant advantages. But if I'm an AutoCAD person, I'm saying, look, Mr. Willard, I mean, that sounds good to you, but billable hours is how I get paid. And the way I do it right now works quite well. We bill for those hours. Those mistakes that are not made are not producing me billable hours, which, you know, like, let's say I'm, you know, we all, you know, incentives, financial incentives, it's almost always the driver behind whatever behavior, right? Let's just face it. That's just how it is, right? That's why people put bonuses together. How would you respond to this? Saying, you know, I'm worried about my revenue significantly dropping if I go to ArchiCAD product.
That's a great question. And I think that is more of an industry shift in terms of, you know, where we're going in terms of the ability for us to produce information more quickly. And I guess to step back is to say, you know, with all that knowledge and capability that a firm has, and also the staff that they're leveraging to produce information, there is especially with traditional contracts, there is a potential to be more efficient and have less billable hours for your project. And so I think what needs to happen is, you know, a discussion of understanding what is the value that your team, your adherence or exploration of technology that makes you more efficient and reduces your errors and omissions, what is the value of that? And I would say that it is more valuable than a practice that is leveraging AutoCAD. And just one point of clarification, AutoCAD has traditionally been 2D, but it is, I would say, light BIM or 3D light, but it definitely is not robust as some other platforms out there. But what I have done in my practice is I have taken a realistic assessment and said, you know, over the last 20, 25 years, I have built both technological skill set that in some ways is unmatched by someone who's coming, a firm that's coming with five people from AutoCAD. If I can do the same thing as those five people and they are billing at, let's just say $100 an hour for five people, why shouldn't I be able to bill at a rate that is equivalent or as a team that's doing that? So what I do instead of trying to match billable hours with how I generate my fees is I, in some ways, give a discount to my client. And I say, well, I'm going to charge you a fair market value for the product that you're getting, which is going to be a superior product in the end. And it's going to save you money in the end. So I'll charge you a fair market value for that product. But instead of me billing hourly to achieve my different phases of billing, I will instead bill you a, you know, a lump sum or a progress of those billings and say, let's just say, for instance, I'm working on a $1 million project and my fees are $100,000 for those that project. And if, let's just say, construction documentation is $50,000 for me to generate those that documentation, instead of me trying to hire staff that at $100 an hour or something of that nature, and then try to somehow get to that fee, I personally just do a billing at the end of that phase that would equal the amount that you would typically be charged for the same amount of service or that delivery of product. So instead of me trying to say it's going to take 6 months, five people, and it's going to cost you $50,000, I'll give it to you in a month, just, you know, a small team, and still charge you that $50,000. But you've saved in design time, in potentially carrying costs. You know, if I'm able to produce the information much quicker and you're sitting on a piece of property that's holding a carrying cost of $10,000 a month, and if I save you 5 months, you know, right there, there's a value of that service. So I think it is definitely a larger discussion about how, as professionals, we justify our value within the industry and to our clients. And that is definitely something that is a topic of discussion that, you know, makes the change a little bit more difficult, because not only now are you looking at switching to a different platform, now you're also looking at adjusting how you do your billing and your contractual relationships to accommodate for the wealth of knowledge and the technological savviness that you you now have.
I almost want to call this episode "Win More Bids." It'll get a lot more plays that way. but it is true. You're sharing something fairly significant here. At the end of the day, like, I know, I feel like you have this little hesitation, and I think maybe a lot of professionals do, about our fees. Look, I charge $250 an hour for prop tech software consulting, how to build a particular, you know, a piece of solution in this property management, tiny little property management space, specifically for single family homes, specifically for managing four other owners, you know, and specifically residential, single family duplex. Like, that's very specialized. I have this very specialized experience that I don't really get to use a lot. But if I do, it's very expensive because I spent 10 years doing this. And, you know, if you want to go find somebody else, you can go find them for $50. but you know, you put them together in the room and they'll spend a week doing what I can do in a day. I'm sorry. I just know this very well, right? I don't know a lot of things. I know that. And so I think we're, as professionals, we sort of have to kind of get a grip on the understanding that, like, look, a customer wants outcomes. Because, you know, they may have been conditioned to negotiate billable hours with you and hourly rate and all those things. But at the end of the day, if what you're saying and how you perceive, you know, how you present yourself as a firm, I would say, you know, you should be winning a lot more bids. I mean, is this reality? Do you see it out there where folks that have all these tech and we're not even going to touch the libraries and BIM cloud and layouts and sets and all these things that actually bring you to this position where you can just reuse stuff you already created? Do you see those folks winning more bids these days, or is it still, I mean, what is the, how are customers perceiving this variance in this bid? Somebody's bidding with a completely new billing. Hey, here's, you know, I'll charge you $50,000 for the outcome. You get construction documentation, you know, 4 months ahead of time, versus a more traditional, safe, linear AutoCAD shop bidding on the same project.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've witnessed it time and time again where groups that I've been working for or with were working on portfolios of projects that were so enormous for the size of teams that they had that it was mind-boggling. I can remember distinctly, you know, working at a firm that had, you know, at the time I started, there was two of us. And when I left, there was three of us, but we were working on, you know, $50 million worth of work, the three of us. I can also remember working at a firm that had 30 people, and that portfolio was probably in the $250 million range of construction work. And I would almost say that there's probably a way, I haven't thought about this until just now, but there's probably a way to assess a firm's potential contractual basis per person.
Now you're speaking dirty to me, man. As a business, right? As a business and an entrepreneur, as a business person, this to me is like the holy grail.
Yeah.
But please continue your thought. I didn't mean to throw you off on that.
Yeah, because I think, you know, I haven't really thought about it, but, you know, instead of looking at, you know, your team as billable hours. So I forget what they call that within the profession, but there's like a, what is it, like employee per employee kind of value that you can start to analyze your business trajectory based on how many people you have, what their billable hour is, and then that's how you determine what your income as a practice is. But that is definitely the older way to look at it, right? So if you were to take a step back and say, if I can win $50 million worth of work and I only have five people, so that means that each person is bringing in, or at least we are dividing up $10 million worth of work per person. So now you're looking at it a little bit differently. So I'm just going to go backwards here. So if, you know, traditional ways you would look at this is if you had five people and each person can work, let's just say, I know it's like 2020 hours, but let's just say 2000 hours a year, $100 an hour. These are just, you know, rough, not even accurate numbers, but just for calculation purposes. So that's $200,000 per person. Mm-hmm. So that's $1 million per person that you would be able to bill out per year for five
million people. Person as a firm. $1 million as a firm, $200,000 per person.
$1 million, yeah, per firm for five people.
Five people, yep.
So then if you did what the reverse calculation of that, so if you were able to generate $1 million worth of billable time per year, that would mean that you would have to be working on at least $10 million of work or $10 million worth of construction per year to be able to be able to accommodate that group of people. So, and that also means that you couldn't necessarily bill more than that.
That's your cap.
So $10 million worth of work for five people. The only way you could grow your firm is to increase your people.
Add bodies.
So now if we did it using something like ArchiCAD and people were more, they were both faster, more efficient, didn't have to do a bunch of rework, and also were able to work in a more synergistic or team kind of workflow inside of a file. So more parallel than linear. And if you were able to work on $50 million worth of work per year, then
that's 500K. That's 500K per person.
500, right? Yeah, 500,000 per person. Yeah, because that would be what, 10? Wait, let's do that.
So let's do that math. So 50 million, 10% would that be fees, which is 5 million.
5 million. So you would have to, so it would be a million a person.
By five people. So it's a million. So it's 5X. It's almost like crazy number.
Yeah.
5X more efficient. Is that realistic?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And so, and this, and I would say like five, you don't
need that's to be probably, that's probably conservative too.
Wow. But then what you can do is, like if I'm an architect who's willing to grow responsibly, but I want my firm to be a bigger firm. I want 200, and I'm still going to say count people, like say 200 person firm. I want to have offices in Paris. I just want to, that's my aspiration. I would balance dropping the fee with deliver faster deliveries and win a lot more deals faster. Because now you have room.
Yeah,
now you have room. You want to be the insanely profitable architecture company? Yeah, sit there, you and two of your buddies, and your wife, maybe four people, right? You can earn, $2-3 million between of you. It could be insanely profitable and very comfortable living, or you can grow faster, just drop your fees. Come in cheaper.
Yeah. And one way that I've seen that this actually plays out for firms is there are some of the tools that you're able to leverage within ArchiCAD allow you to produce information that is shareable to your clients. So if they're going after a $50 million project and you are able to produce a file that they can show to prospective investors that is quick, easy, and gets to the nuts and bolts, both in visualization, but also quantification and kind of analysis. And they are able to get investors to buy into the vision that, a developer or owner has, or the owner themselves, and win that project. That is kind of the ultimate translation of bringing a firm from some other platform into a platform like ArchiCAD or ArchiCAD, because there isn't really another comparative application that provides a seamless integration of sharing information internally with the team or with outside parties in a way that they can buy into the dream.
Mm. So what you're saying is you can build pre-sale. You can build pretty robust demos of what the project's going to look like faster than you would on AutoCAD and share it more effectively.
Yep.
And, you know, that will have some data, some design, but you wouldn't have to spend too much time on putting that together. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a specific example. I was working with a group in San Antonio, and we got notified that we were going to go after a competition in Corpus Christi, Texas. And so I think it was like a Thursday. I think it was like a Wednesday or Thursday. We were like notified that we were going to be competing in this competition for, I think it was like a $120 million project. Within 4 days, we were able to produce very high quality information for, I forget if it was like 1.2 million square feet of mixed use between basically two people, and deliver it on boards, you know, as a presentation. We won the project, and we were so close to being able to produce construction documents by the end of that week, that there literally wasn't a team that could compete with the number of people, the deliverable, or, you know, kind of the information sharing that we produced and ultimately won the project.
Mm, and you didn't have to lower your price, right?
Didn't have to lower the price and didn't have to, you know, share that, you know, there was two of us working on the project. You know, that's just one example, but I probably could give, you know, multiple dozens of examples of clients being so impressed by the accuracy, the level of detail, the finished presentation materials and products and files, that it becomes a very easy way to win lots of work very quickly.
Man, that sounds amazing. So Do you often see, that's a little selfish question, do you often see non-architects running architect companies? Does that even happen? Like architectural practices run by someone who is not, no architecture training?
Well, technically you can't, you know, within different legal areas, architecture firms aren't allowed to be solely run by a non-architect. So you don't see that too much. But you know, some things I have seen in recent years are companies that are they're more on the kind of development or kind of product delivery side. So like prefab or modular, that are run by tech companies. Because, you know, one of the I guess, low hanging fruits that we exist in is that the construction industry globally is a $13 trillion industry.
Oh, it's massive, yeah.
And even within areas like this Bay Area or San Francisco Bay Area or these metropolitan areas, is what you find is that architecture construction can be a very lucrative and very profitable kind of endeavor. And unfortunately, I think the one issue that's a little bit hard to deal with is that architects typically aren't very good at business or running businesses. So that's something that has to potentially evolve within the industry, is architects getting better at running practices and looking for those opportunities to be more efficient, be able to deliver products more quickly, you know, and standardize and create templates and things like that, so that they're more efficient, and leveraging technology like digital fabrication to be able to deliver their products instead of relying somewhat on these legacy methods for both delivering construction documents or even delivering buildings in kind of a historical manner.
Mm. All right. I'll stick with IT for now and the other stuff I have going on. But if this goes nowhere, Willard, you and I, we should just go and make millions.
Yeah.
And create a really efficient and the best architecture practice that runs the latest tools. Yeah, but no, this is, our goal is to share that with our viewers. I really, love what we do and stick to helping architects win. That's why we do these things. And I think this is a good point to wrap up, Willard. I think we've wanted to go one direction and the conversation just sort of floated and I love it. I think the end of the day is, go to ArchiCAD, win more bids, make more money. I mean, that's what we're going to call this thing. At the end of the day, you provide wonderful examples. It's kind of a little mind boggling to me. I got to do some research. Like, can you really be 5 times more effective? Like, that's not real.
Yeah, totally. It is.
So I believe you. I believe you. I just need to go and find it elsewhere as well. Cause that sounds like why wait? Right. So anyway, if you guys are looking to transition, guys and gals, transition to ArchiCAD, Willard and ArchIT, we can help you out. We got resources for you. We can help you go to that next level. Any parting words of wisdom?
The only easy day was yesterday. I guess that's like a Navy SEAL thing, but no, I think that, understanding your practice in embracing technology is only going to help you achieve your dreams.
Bottom line, you're worth more than you think. I'll see you all next time. Check out getarchit.com. You can find, we'll put Willard's contact info as well. If you want to hire him, you're available to do this work. Now we are together in this. So in other words, there's an IT piece to the conversion and there's definitely a implementation piece of the tool itself. So I think that would be a good lab effort to help you out, but yeah, definitely you can check him out. Willard, do you have like a website they can go look at?
I have a blog. It's just willardwilliams.com.
Willardwilliams.com. Check him out. And thank you all very much for listening and watching. And we'll see you all next time. Thank you.
Thanks.